All right. He's been on a road, but I'm guessing it's not to nowhere. And it was his song choice on this Wenny. Vinny Catalano is back with us. He's president, global investment strategist at Blue Marble Research. And he joins us here in studio. Good to have you back with us.
Great to be here, Carol. Thank you.
You have been on the road a lot.
Yeah. 8 cities, 8 events in 6 weeks. 4 times to Florida. Which wasn't bad in January, February.
I'm jealous.
2 times to Arizona, once to New Orleans, which is never bad to go to, and then 1 time, which started it all off, here in New York back on January 9th.
How do you determine where you're going? What kind of rules these trips?
Relationships mainly with various different CFA societies, yeah. Chartered Financial Analyst Societies throughout the United States. So I do their forecast events for them. I help to organize it, produce it, and then moderate it. One event that I did not organize, and that was the Inside ETF event that I participated in South Florida.
So what's the mood? And so wait, let me just ask you, let me go back a step. Who comes to these events? Is it all CFAs? Is it investors? What is it?
Predominantly investment professionals.
Yeah.
Many of them are CFAs, charter holders. But you also have a fair number of individual investors, mainly high net worth, clients of those that are members of the various different CFA societies. And they're in the meetings also. And so it's a mix. It's a mixed audience that when you're doing the event, you really have to be careful, particularly the panelists, because it's all a moderated discussion.
Right.
That you have to be careful in terms of too much jargon. And in fact, many times I find myself being, you know, the interpreter in chief. Like that, well, 2 in 10 means that guy. So I'm doing that sort of thing a lot.
What's kind of the mood that you saw as you kind of moved around the country here?
Sure.
At these different meetings?
Two different categories. One is in terms of the participants on the programs, the experts,
the panelists.
The panelists, exactly. That they were. It started off with raging bulls. I mean, I was waiting for Robert De Niro to show up on
really?
January 9th.
Really? Kind of like all in.
All in. Long time that we've heard that.
This is the past 6 weeks, so from the beginning of the year till now.
Yeah, which for the first month, the people that were on the panel in New York here on January 9th, they were on the wrong side of the trade.
Right, but they were still bullish.
Well, they were bullish to start it off, and then the markets went south.
Yeah.
You know, so they got it wrong for 3 weeks or
did
something
that bullish
like that.
Sentiment kind of wane at all as January moved on?
It did to a degree.
Okay.
When I started to do the other events, you could hear it sort of moderate. To agree in terms of the panelists, a little hedging of the bets and stuff like that. I did have one fellow, which I've recommended to Paul, your producer, Jeffrey Sherman, out there at Double Line. He was sensational at the 2 events I did in Arizona, and he was definitely on the more cautious side. Let's put it that way.
What was he cautious about?
His concerns were a lot like mine. That dealt with Fed's actions and interest rates and central bank policies and exploding balance sheets and things like that that are problematic.
Remind us, because you've been on before and you've talked about Fed policy. Remind us, especially on a day when we just got the latest set of Fed minutes and Kathleen Hayes, as we just heard, thinking that it's kind of interesting about maybe their guidance that may be changing in the future and that could be pretty significant. So far. Knock on Formica. Nobody heard that. Things aren't going so bad, though, as the Fed is backing off those asset purchases. So what is it that you still think could happen?
Well, I think ultimately, and I keep asking this question at every one of the events that I participate in, what do you do when you have this exploded balance sheet, central bank balance sheet, not just here in the U.S., but the ECB, even though they've moderated it to a degree, but they're expected to pick it back on up. Bank of Japan is another one.
I was just thinking about that, yeah.
Right, exactly. The answer that I get, the traditional answer is, well, they'll have to work off, the assets that they've purchased.
What's on the balance sheet.
On the balance sheet. And they'll do it in an orderly fashion and roll it over, whatever they have to do, wait for the things to, mature and all that. And I keep asking the question, it's just, in my nature, what is it about that maybe, because it's so extraordinary, we've never experienced anything like this before.
Right.
Are there any unintended consequences that are there? And I keep pressing on this question, and I keep getting, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It'll work out. And that, to me, is very unsettling. Which, by the way, that kind of dismissive sort of confidence, I heard that all throughout. The events also, that especially that first one in January, where they were just, it wasn't just being bullish, it was being very confidently bullish and boy, that always makes me uncomfortable.
Don't you find that kind of crazy? Because I think I felt at the end of last year, wow, nice returns. Mm-hmm. How can this continue? And we're going to see a pullback because maybe this isn't all backed by fundamentals.
Right.
So anybody who's confidently bullish in January.
Well, I think you've got the fundamentals that are there.
Yeah.
I think that the extraordinary action of the Fed in terms of its policy and, you know, zero bound interest rates and the QE actions and all of those kind of things and Operation Twist and everything else that's going on. The problem that I have, and you can find all the justifications there, earnings are there and valuation models say, yeah, okay, good, you know, that kind of thing. There are issues that are there. We can get a little bit more into as we hear the music coming.
He knows how to read the radio cues. We love it. Vinnie Catalano is our guest, President Global Investment Strategist at Blue Marble Research. We'll continue the conversation with him right here on Taking Stock. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg Radio. You are listening to Bloomberg Radio. Listen to us 24 hours a day by downloading the Radio Plus TuneIn or iHeartRadio mobile apps for your iPhone or your Android. This is Taking Stock. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Pim Fox. I'm talking with Vinnie Catalano. He's President and Global Investment Strategist at Blue Marble Research, and he joins us in studio. I want to go back to, you know, you've been talking about, you've been on the road a lot, mm-hmm. 8 cities, 6 weeks. There's a lot of confidence, a lot of confidence.
Right. And the confidence resides mainly in the experts, the ones that are on the panel, the speakers. What I did not see, and this is just as important as hearing what the experts have to say, is what are the questions of those that are in attendance?
Yeah. And what do they want to know, right?
Yeah, what do they want to know? And typically when you're in a bull market, at some point, you start to get questions about actionable ideas. What can I do? What should I do? What areas should I be in, et cetera? Got very few of those, which was very surprising. Most of the questions were really centered towards the macro. They were concerns about issues. They were really quite sophisticated in terms of the question. I mean, where I went, they were really good. These were very good questions from very well-informed and concerned individuals, but they were not, hey, tell me what to do, what should I be in, you know, what's hot, what's not, that kind of thing. And in 2005, I've been doing these kind of events since 1998.
Okay.
And in 2004 to 2007, it was, what should I do, where should I put my mind, you know, that kind of thing. Get me in, give me a good idea. And this time around, it's still after the bull market, after the new highs,
yeah,
not getting it yet. So
what
there's a lot of doubt.
So there is doubt out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, there's doubt on the.
So they were bullish.
The speakers were bullish, right.
But the attendees
were going, well,
maybe not so fast. What do you think about this market environment?
I think the market environment is justified in terms of valuation. Using traditional methods.
Yeah.
I've got a problem with using the traditional methods in terms of valuation approaching normalcy, other than Shiller's CAPE index,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much every other metric that I know that uses valuation models says that this market is around fairly valued and it's entering into a normal range. I have this modified Fed model that I've constructed, and we're entering right into that range of normalcy,
right.
You know, spread between earnings yield and 10-year treasuries, that, stuff like that. And it's a 2-3%, you know, range, and we're just above it right now based on $120 of operating earnings in the S&P 500 over the next 12 months. But the difficulty that I have is, given all of these other hard-to-quantify elements, and there are many hard-to-quantify elements that are out there, exploded central bank balance sheets being one of them, that when you have that kind of condition, I have a hard time justifying why a market would be entering into normalcy. That's the difficulty that I have with it.
Maybe normalcy's been redefined. I mean, yeah. Seriously, you know, maybe it's a different environment. I don't know.
And that's one step away from this time is different.
Fair enough. And I guess time will tell. I mean, I mentioned before we started going, you know, here with you that I feel like, you know, certainly as someone who talks about the markets all the time, that we've to some extent been like, oh, okay, there's another uprising here. maybe there's some nervousness in the markets for a day, and then we move on.
Right.
And coming off the crisis that we have just dealt with, one thing after another, the U.S. crisis, the meltdown there, the global meltdown, and then you had to deal with Europe, and now we're dealing with Asia a lot in terms of what's happening there. And I'd hate to say that we're getting used to it, but to some extent, maybe we are.
And I think that what you just described is perfectly rational, perfectly normal.
He's smiling, everybody. He doesn't believe.
but to a big extent, you know, given the way the game is played by predominantly institutional investors, mainly of the hot money, fast money, shorter-term oriented crowd, where they have massive amounts of liquidity and they've got to do something with it, and they could get out very easily.
Right.
You know, it's a lot like a driver. It's a lot like these alpha males on the Long Island Expressway doing 70 miles an hour, one car length behind the car in front of them, figuring, oh, you don't worry about it. I'll hit the brake in time.
I'll have time.
There's, you know, I'll get out in time. That kind of thing. And there's a, you know, that sort of thinking is there. And so as long as the music is playing, you know, the dancing has to go on. Now, if you ask me, what is the recommended asset mix and what is the asset allocation that I have right now, the number is somewhere around 75% in equities. So here I am talking concern, but the music's playing.
You're in the market.
Music's playing. You got to dance.
Hey, Vinny, got about a minute left here. So in terms of what happens to stocks in a year where we've had such dramatic gains, and also what happens in terms of the election cycle, are there anything historically that we should kind of be thinking about?
That's great. Yeah, the facts are that after you've had up 25% year in the United States, and that's happened 18 times over the last 87 years that they've tracked this information, the following year you get a plus 6%. As an average return.
6%?
Plus 6, with a wider dispersion of performance. That's one. Secondly, that's 2014.
Yep.
2014 is also the second year of the four-year U.S. presidential cycle. It is the worst performing of the 4 years. And typically what you get in this kind of year is you get not only a lower rate of return than you'd normally do in the other years, but you also get an increased number of 5% plus corrections. And if you remember last year, they were like, you know, where's Waldo?
Right.
Where's the 5% correction? So.
Well, we definitely, you know, have gotten off to a start where you definitely feel the volatility. There's more there.
Yeah. And I think more to come.
But right now you're in stocks. Largely.
You have to be. Music's playing. The music's playing.
The music is playing.
Literally.
Great to have you back.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Vinny Catalano, he's president, global investment strategist at Blue Marble Research, joining us here in studio. You are listening to Taking Stock. I'm Carol Masser, my co-host Pim Fox, and this is Bloomberg Radio.